are listening to Clear Mind Events Podcast. What is up, podcast peeps? Andy here with Clear Mind Events. And what you're about to hear is episode 2. 1, 2, anxiety is coming for you. We ran into a bit of a snafu with getting episode 2 published, but while we were waiting for it to publish, we just kept pushing. You know, we didn't want to just stay stagnant. So fast forward to episode 2 never publishing, we had to go back and resubmit, and the original file was corrupted. So what we decided to do was split episode 2 into 2 separate podcast recordings. So what you're going to hear now is part 1, and then we're going to bring you the second half in a future episode. Hope you enjoy. Talk to you guys soon.
So episode 2.
Woo!
I have already been informed that the intro music needs to go. I said it's free.
She might be referring to a conversation that we had.
Hey, I'm not gonna throw anybody under the bus.
I mean, it's good intro music if we were like a law firm talking about personal injury lawsuits.
So I will say this.
lullaby. Like a kid show. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what she said. She's like, it sounds like it's a lullaby, like I'm going to go to sleep. honestly, guys, that was the best one that I could find. So I just want to put it out there. If anybody has a song that listens to this podcast and would be interested in helping us out by making us a little bit of like a rock intro. You know, we are all about all genres of music, but I think rock and roll has our heart. I think so anyway.
Agreed.
Taylor Momsen, Just Put Death by Rock and Roll. That'll be me.
Love that song.
Just Put Death by Rock and Roll. So episode 2, which is 1, 2, anxiety is coming for you, which is same shit, different day for me. I am a avid anxiety person. I don't know if you'd call it avid or not. And what we did for this episode was I painstakingly took all these different quizzes. Most of them sucked. And sent one out to my homies, Tara and Eric, to complete as well, just to see what types of results that we got. And disclaimer here, guys, just as we said on the previous episode, we are not here to treat, we are not here to diagnose. And a quiz that you got on the internet can't be your Dr. Phil, your therapist, your whatever, right?
Oh man.
And I will say, like, one thing that I found from taking all of these different quizzes was that, to me, most of them were not accurate. So many people would take them and think, oh, I'm good, I'm fine. There were several that once I looked at the results, it's like, oh, you know, you're okay. You might get anxious from time to time, but you're okay. And so that's probably why I didn't get diagnosed until, God, mid-20s for me. And then, Eric, have you been diagnosed with anxiety?
Officially, no. I'm still in the process of going through meeting with doctors, getting all that stuff squared away through the VA.
Gotcha. So. And then, Tara, I know for you, you've not been diagnosed with anxiety, right?
No, I have not.
Gotcha. Because I know you were telling us about your dear friend on the last episode that, was it Nine Inch Nails?
Yeah, it was Aftershock 2017.
Yeah.
And that was the band that she was most excited to see of all those bands.
Oh, I would have been the same. You'd have to pry it from my cold, dead hands. So it must have been pretty bad for her to have to leave.
It was. I mean, and I can even, again, I don't really have anxiety in crowd, like, music situations. Mm-hmm. But I do recall, you know, turning around and you see thousands and thousands, because, I mean, they cram, like, 40 to 50,000 people in there. And it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And before you know it, the venue's all one big crowd. And it's like, whoa, you know.
Whoa.
So that can be... That definitely can be overwhelming, because it's a bigger sea of people than, like, say if you went to a regular, like, just smaller venue show, because this is a huge park. I mean, I wouldn't say, like, going to a stadium show, because those are huge, but, like, you know what I mean? It's just kind of interesting to watch a park transform into this huge sea of people.
Yeah.
And, just to give our non-music festival people some background. So Aftershock is a kick-ass music festival put on by Danny Wimmer Presents. If you're not familiar with Danny Wimmer Presents, they're probably most famous for Rock on the Range, which is now Sonic Temple. They had Carolina Rebellion, which is now Epicenter, right, Eric?
Yes.
And then... it's, oh gosh, I'm so ashamed. Welcome to Rockville is in Florida, right?
Yep.
And then you've got Aftershock in California. Tara, this is bad. Like, which city or town is Aftershock in?
It's in Sacramento.
There you go. This is so bad that I don't remember this stuff. And then, of course, I mean, we're biased, but we have Louder Than Life here in Louisville, Kentucky. So, but they put on all of those festivals. So if any of those ring a bell, you know, it's a pretty awesome festival. If you've been to one, I can promise you that the others are just as awesome. So just a little background there on that, Aftershock, which is a fantastic name since it's in California, right?
Absolutely. The land of earthquakes.
Right. It would be kind of wild to be at a festival and then that happened, knock on wood, because I don't want to wish that on anybody, but
that would be... to have not even, like, she didn't even recover overnight, really. She still didn't go the next day. And
oh, gosh.
Miss Ozzy, you know?
Oh.
She went downtown instead. And, again, I didn't understand it back then. So, yeah, I know we've talked about this before. It's just... you know, I guess I could have been more understanding, but when you don't have that, you don't really think.
I swear, you know how, like, when you're older and you kind of look back on stuff and you're like, ah, okay, yeah. So that explains why I did that. Like, I remember in high school, I wouldn't be sick. I didn't miss a whole lot of school. Imagine that. But I would just need a day. I'm like, I just need a day. I'm not going today. I need to breathe. Especially like junior and senior year. I'm like, I just need to breathe. So I stayed home. And mom would be like, well, if you're not sick, you shouldn't have stayed home. And I was like, listen. And I was like naming off all the stuff that I was doing at school, you know, because of course, you know, when you hit like junior, senior year, you got to be an overachiever because everything looks good on your college resume, depending on where you go. But yeah, I would need that. I would need that day. I didn't realize that was like, my anxiety being like, okay, we need to recharge our batteries here, sister. So you're going to stay home. And of course, my mom would, like I said, you can't stay home from school if you're not sick. And I was like, oh, listen, I never miss. I stayed home. Stayed home. Yeah. Latchkey kid.
I was always sick going through school.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I had really bad allergies growing up. So anything and everything that grew made me sick.
Yep. I didn't have allergies until Kentucky.
I skipped a lot of school. That was my thing. I went and partied with my friends.
Surely not.
Okay, real quick. I went to my orthodontist like every week. And I said, yeah. Hey, don't I have an appointment today? And they'd say, no. And I'd be like, oh, I already left school. Can I get a pass? And by the way, I'm talking like stoned out of my gourd as I'm doing this. But I got like all of these absences excused because I was out.
Oh, my goodness. I think, man, We had a...
I'm not advocating that, children.
We'll cut that out.
There's the disclaimer.
We had a football player, and I swear he probably missed half of the school year. And there was a big, huge scandal because they were going to let him graduate. They were going to let him walk across stage. And a whole bunch of parents raised a big old stink. But this person stole one of those little like prescription pads where they write like your excuse or whatever. Supposedly they stole one. I don't know if that's the truth or not, because in my hometown, football is a way of life. So I don't know how true that was. But some parents raised a big stink and they didn't get to graduate on time. They were going to let him walk across the stage. And I guess that was a big, huge ordeal as well. And they're like, no, he doesn't get to walk across the stage. He's not graduated. The big scandal for like we had the Mr. and Mrs. of the school. I won't name the school. But, you know, you have like Mr. and Mrs. of blah, blah, blah high school. And it's like a big deal for the yearbook and people vote and all that popularity bullshit. And so Mr. High School did not graduate, folks.
The
rest of class, yeah.
Oh boy.
Yep. So
yeah, I should have taken it more seriously. I just got kind of bored a lot, and I just wanted to go hang out with my friends. Like that's what I did. Most of my friends were older too, so I could just, you know, go kick it at their apartment and we'd go get like illegal margaritas and things like that at restaurants. And I mean, I don't know. That was just kind of, I know.
And I didn't do any of that because I thought the sky was going to fall and I would go to jail because of my anxiety. You know how like your parents like tell you stuff like, you know, don't turn the dome light on when you're driving because you're going to get pulled over. It's illegal and you'll get a ticket, which is so not true. But they'll tell you that stuff. And so you never do it. So I was that kid. Like, I didn't let anybody drive my vehicle because I thought for sure if someone, they were going to wreck, some moron would hit them. And then, you know, we could lose the vehicle or something. Because that's what my parents told me, you know. And they were pretty smart to tell me that because I believed them. And so I was the kid that if they were going out with me, their parents didn't ask anything. They didn't ask, you know, what time are you coming home? Where are you going? What are you doing? All they had to do was say that they were going out with me. And they're like, okay. So that's how tame I was in high school.
That would have been a perfect opportunity for you to go do whatever you wanted. And nobody would have ever thought anything. There's that.
There were times.
But yeah.
There were a few times. That
and here
I,
comes
I,
the truth.
Yep. But you know, for the most part in high school, I was pretty tame. Cause I mean, I was chicken little. I thought the sky was going to fall, man. I didn't realize it was anxiety. So, but yeah. Let's see here. So, we took the quiz. Was anybody surprised at anything that the quiz told them?
Not a bit.
I know I wasn't surprised. Tara, I gather you weren't surprised either, right?
No. I would say no, not at all. This month, because it basically asks a lot of questions about this last month, where I do have some anxiety going on, and that's because of a medical procedure coming up. So, like, as far as answering this month, you know, I don't know. It's like, I kind of feel like it should have gone a little further back than a month because it's circumstantial. You know what I mean? As far as what's going on in your life at this time or that time where you can't really get a good answer if you're looking for anyway.
No, I love that you said that because a lot of the quizzes that I took and didn't like them, it was asking me about the last 2 weeks. And it's like, well, what if you had a really good 2 weeks, you know? Because some people, usually your anxiety and depression can go hand in hand. People can have anxiety and then it causes depression. Or, you know, the depression can lead to having anxiety, but you can also have people who, you know, you have highs and lows. So you could be on an upswing. And if those 2 weeks you were on an upswing and you're feeling better and you're thinking, you know what, I'm feeling pretty good and I don't like the way I felt last month. So it's time I did something about it. And what do? We always get on WebMD and it's always cancer, right? So yes. You get on there because there was one question that I found a lot and it asked about drugs and alcohol. And, you know, and it's usually like, you know, hey, is it interfering with your work? Is it interfering with your social life? Have you been drunk? Have you used illegal substances and things like that? And if you put never, or if you put sometimes, that changes the score. And that can like throw off the score that the quiz is designed to give. So like you said, you know, the past month, a lot of what you have been feeling is due to the anticipation of that medical procedure coming up, right? And you said
right. And then what about what else has been going on in the country? I think everyone's anxiety has been up as far as all that's concerned, you know,
exactly.
All the unknown. So it's like, you know, I would say go over like the last year or so maybe, and then like put in, like, if you were in this situation, how might you react? You know what I mean? Like that would be good to kind of get an idea. I don't write quizzes. It's just a thought how this one is probably the best one I found.
Like, you know, thinking about the last 90 days, how many times did this happen? And sometimes it can take several sessions for someone to identify what's going on. I know me, like I tend to be a perfectionist. Shocker, I know it, right? But because you're that perfectionist and you get in front of that counselor, you're trying to focus on all the good stuff that's going on instead of telling them the stuff that really, really sucks. Yep. Exactly. Or maybe
like I road rage. Like I'm a bad road rager. And so, like, I tend to wonder if that, what exactly is that? Is that anger? Is that anxiety?
One of the quizzes that I took asked about road rage. And what I did when I was going through the quiz is I asked my mom, I was like, what do you think? Because I can minimize stuff and be like, no, it really wasn't that bad. And my friend could be like, no, you were like batshit crazy. I love you, but you were batshit crazy that day. I had never seen you like that, you know? So I was asking my mom, like, what level do you think I am? I'm like you. I'm like, the light is green. Green means go. But let somebody honk their horn at me the instant that light turns green. I'm like, you know what? We're just going to sit here.
Well, yeah. Like, I live in a tourist town. And so there's all these people from different places right now. And I had one riding my ass on the way to the store earlier.
Uh-oh.
And I straight up brake checked their ass. Well, of course I'm going to.
I bet you did.
I'm the best driver in Idaho. I don't know. Best female driver in Idaho.
Out of what, like the 3 people out there that in Idaho that drive?
That's funny. There are at least 5 of us.
Okay. You did say it's a touristy town. You got a lot of people there, so I'll give you 5.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
I think Louisville's kind of touristy too, though.
Not nearly as much as it used to be.
Imagine that. Yeah. Can't imagine why. Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah.
all right. So, based upon the results, did anybody have an indication that they get like physical symptoms when they're worried or they're anxious, like upset stomach, get a headache?
Oh, all the time.
You too?
Oh yeah. But I've got enough stomach issues that I don't really, you know, I don't really count that. Occasionally I get nauseous. Most of the time I get headaches.
Gotcha.
But I've kind of learned to, I guess you could say, fight it or just suppress it enough. So.
Gotcha. How about you, Tara?
I have a lack of sleep when my mind starts racing and thinking about things too much.
Yep. Attacked. I know for me, because of the anxiety, if I do have like an upset stomach, or if I'm not feeling very well, or like a headache or something, I always kind of wonder, and I'll be like, you know, hey, what's going on? What happened the last couple of days? What's coming up? What's going on today? Because I know that I can get a headache. I can get nausea. When I first started my new job, I feel like those first 90 days, I stayed nauseated. And everything I ate went right through me. You're welcome for the overshare. But just because I was so wound up and so anxious and that perfectionist and wanted to do a good job, and this is a new job and not acquainted to everybody yet. So definitely high anxiety right there. So I find now that, like Eric said, sometimes trying to figure out like how to manage it and give it a little bit to see, like, you know, did I really have the stomach flu, or am I just stressed out? The first time that I was supposed to go see In This Moment, I was supposed to go to Bogart's in Cincinnati, and I was super excited. A friend of mine was going. I was just, oh man. Oh. And then I talked to my dad, and my dad's like, where's it located? And I told him the name of the street, and he's like, well, I'm going to pull it up on a map. So he pulls it up on a map, and he's like asking me all these questions. And he's like, well, just be careful, park really close to the venue. He's like, cause he said, you know, I've done work in those areas. And he's like, you know, if you go so many streets over away from the college, it's a whole other ball game. And I forget the name of that strip, but that one strip, you know, part of it's okay, but then I guess part of it's just not as safe, especially if you would stick out like a red thumb like me, or should it be purple thumb? I think it's purple thumb.
Yeah.
And we had class that day. We had stuff going on. And I'm telling you, like by lunchtime, I was so ill and I was so sick. I had threw up in the bathroom. And finally, I told my boss, I was like, look, you know, I'll stay. I might as well stay and not use my sick pay, because I'm not going to go to the show. I ate the ticket. I didn't have time to sell it to anybody. And here's what is so effed up is probably about 30 minutes after I told my boss, hey, I'm not going to go, I started feeling better because I wasn't going to go.
Yeah. You had one less stressor taken out.
Yep. And I went to the parking lot and I cried. I was so mad because the anxiety just, you know, excuse me. It's like, seriously, mm-hmm. You know, I love music, but it, man. So, I mean, I lost out on that ticket, couldn't find anybody to buy it. And my friend's like, are you kidding me? Why are you not going? It's really not that bad. Da, 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 da. But, you know, this is someone who they really dive into stuff head first. So, you know. Our idea of everything's fine and their idea of everything is fine is very different. So, but yeah, that man, and that told me that I needed to, get back into counseling and, you know, see about getting some sort of medication. Cause clearly I was not managing it very well on my own. So when it made me miss out on music, I was like, okay, that's a deal breaker for me, sister. Listen, Linda, we're going to sit down, we're going to talk, and we're going to figure out like how we work this out. So now, if I've never been there before, I want to get there probably an hour or two early so that I can park close to the venue. If I get lost on all that one-way streets and crap, I can get parked and I can like breathe and settle myself down before going to the venue. Now going to Bogart's is no big deal. Like I'm still kind of like, I still want to get there early, but not like before. But that's because I know all the parking lots. I know where to go. There's more of a security blanket now for that. So, Eric, for you, like, is there a big event that you kind of like missed out on because of your tendency towards, anxiety?
Oh gosh. I haven't really had I mean, there's been, I wouldn't say I've missed out, but I didn't really focus as much, especially with the music festivals. When I go, I'm fine until it starts getting a little packed, and then I, to be able to deal with it, I pretty much have to drink and drink copious amounts to be able to get to where I don't really care about the crowds anymore. I'm not constantly looking over my shoulder. There's been a couple times I've gone to some venues to where I wanted to see a show. I didn't have enough money to drink, and I ended up just leaving. But I mean, they were all local shows, and you know, it sucks because a couple of the bands, some of my really good friends were up there playing. And they messaged me afterwards like, hey, I tried to find you in the crowd. And I was like, sorry, man, I left like right at your third song. I couldn't, you know, certain things would remind me of other things, and I had to go. I couldn't do it. But as far as like actually missing out, not per se, but I've kind of, with my history on what I've been through and what I've dealt with and what I've done, you know, I go and I try it first, and then if it gets towards too much, I leave.
Gotcha. You know, that's really insightful. I didn't think about that. I'm one of those that I don't drink a lot at venues. Just because, you know, alcohol is expensive. And then, I mean, let's be honest. I know, like, Tara can probably attest to this, but when you drink, you've got to pee more. And if you get up front and you've got a really good spot, you don't want to leave, right? Because it's a pain in the ass to try and find your way back. So I tend to just...
Catheter.
Just let it roll out into a water bottle.
Yeah. Those are easier for you all than it is for me.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Sorry.
Yeah. Innies are easier than outies.
But yeah, I never thought about that. That's probably why you have a lot of people drink at shows, because it might kind of help with their social anxiety. I mean, like you said, especially by the time the headliner hits, I mean, you are in there like sardines. That was something that I had to get used to, was that culture of, by the time the headliner gets on, everybody is like body to body, and the person behind you is going to know if you have a butt or not, and you're going to know like if they have an innie or an outie. You're going to know because you're that close to each other, right?
And how recently they've showered.
Exactly. Right. It's like, okay, thank you for wearing deodorant and smelling good. And I actually said that to a couple of people. I'm like, please forgive me, but you smell really good, and I just want to tell you that, and I want to thank you for standing next to me because you smell nice. Thank you for showering.
I you smell like deodorant.
Oh, that's too funny. Some of the concerts I went to back in the 90s, man. Oh, like the Lilith Fair or Horde Festival. The patchouli all around you, and the hippies haven't showered, and you're like, panic too. No, I'm just kidding.
I think I have, I won't say PTSD, but I think I have a little bit of trauma with the scent of patchouli now, because I was dating someone that did the whole patchouli thing to cover up the smell of other stuff that's really green. And, now I'm not a fan of the smell of patchouli. I'm a little better about it now, but when the breakup or whatever was still fresh, the smell just, it made me so sick. It just was such a, I was triggered. I had to get away because it reminded me of that.
Sniff it out of perfume. I'm sorry. I can sniff it out of perfumes. My mom has a perfume that she wears. Called Angel. We all know Angel. It's very, very popular. They use patchouli in it. And when that patchouli starts to come out, I'm like, what are you wearing? Like, seriously, my mom will be in the office and I can just smell it coming off her hair. And I'm like, you smell like a hippie.
You're the office bloodhound. You can tell people what's in their perfumes and body sprays and stuff.
I can tell if the guys have washed their hands after going to the restroom.
Yeah, you're the bloodhound.
I can
not a bad thing. It. Not a bad thing at all.
No, I can hear the water change.
Oh.
Well, I don't like smell. No. It's just patchouli, like you have PTSD with it. Well, I hung out with a lot of stoners back in the 90s, and like that's what just like you said. To cover the smell of
green stuff.
I'll go ahead and say it. Well, most places it's legal now, so we can just say it.
This is true.
to cover that smell, patchouli was like, you know, the incense that was burned and the oil that was put on your body. And then I knew people who decided that showering wasn't necessary anymore and got like a stone that like worked to clean them. Like it was a special kind of a rock. It did not work. But I mean, you could still smell it on them, but they hadn't showered.
So you have from that, you have post-traumatic smell disorder.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't want to be insensitive to PTSD. I mean, that's a very serious, right? And I mean, Eric, you know.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
So I don't want I like that. Post-traumatic smell. I like that better. Yep. I like that.
I've smelled some people in those festivals that were pretty traumatic. And it wasn't from their extracurricular activities either.
Right.
And actually, I can't remember who does the commercial, but like stress stink. When you're like anxious and you're stressed out, you can get more body odor. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've heard it called stress stink is what I've heard it called. So, I mean, people who have anxiety, when they're really stressed out, if they find like they get like stinky pits, that's another indicator of that they're struggling with anxiety. Because when you are stressed out, I don't know all the science and stuff behind it, but it like kicks in the odor in your armpits especially, and you can get stinkier because you're stressed out.
Well, I mean, your blood pressure has gone up. You know, your heart rate is probably elevated. So your body's reacting as if you're exercising without really doing anything. Hmm. So, you know, your armpits sweat when you exercise. Your armpits are going to sweat when you're stressed, nervous, anxious. You know, that's how it affects me. That's how it does me. That's why I constantly walk around. I'm sure you guys are going to hate me for this, but I constantly walk around with a box of a bottle of Axe body spray.
Eric, no.
It's cheap.
I don't
bathe in it. I just keep it in case I need to spritz my armpits a little. Yeah. But I don't take the Irish shower or the whore's bath.
That's good. I did not
say whore bath.
You know, just kind of a little cover up.
What was it, Mary Catherine Gallagher, who was like, when I get really nervous, I take my hands underneath here, and then I go like this. Cause like, you know, she's all...
Yeah. Back in the old Saturday Night Live days.
Yeah. I wish I had more that I could relate with on having, like, lost... Like, I have never missed a show because of an anxiety-type situation. I've definitely had to leave a show because I was too wasted. That's happened.
So question then, do you find yourself drinking to calm yourself when you're in situations that you think are socially awkward? No,
I mean, they just kind of go hand in hand when it comes to socializing. Like, I mean, I socialize without it, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. I don't have too many socially awkward situations. I really just don't.
She probably can't remember them.
No, my thing is, living in a small town, I get out. I get into the city. I'm excited. We're actually going to go do something because I don't do much. And then I'm like, woohoo, it's time to pre-funk and do all this and that. And, you know, I only buy like 3 beers at the show because they're way too expensive. But no, I wouldn't say that. But you know, I guess, I mean, I've been going to parties since I was like 15. So. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. See, this is why I need you to be closer, because you're going to be like, Andy, we got to go. We got to do something. You've not been like social for X amount of weeks. We're going to go do this. Like, I'm picking you up. I mean, it's up to you how you look and if you're presentable, but, you know, please don't embarrass me, but I'm going to pick you up and we're going to go.
Hell yeah. And I was going to tell you, though, as far as the crowd thing's concerned.
Yeah.
I don't get up that close.
Okay.
Not anymore. No, I did back in the day. That, well, yeah. Back in the day, I was all about the mosh pits and stuff like that. And, like, I like the old people section. I like to be able to pay attention to the band and enjoy myself without trying to figure out if I'm going to be able to stay standing. Like, okay, a while ago, I went to a Social D concert. And it'd been a while, you know, since I'd been like in a punk show, and I was wearing a dress and flip flops, and I'm getting closer and I'm getting closer. And then all of a sudden they get going and I'm sliding, girl, because of all. And I was like, okay, now old people section. So it's not so far back that I'm not close enough to see. I just find that like little perfect pocket, you know, that's like relatively open and you got a good view. You know what I mean? Like when I got really close to Metallica, I wasn't worried about it. You just keep an eye on where the pits are and stuff. But like, I don't get so close. No, I don't like touch people as much in the shows anymore. It's just something I don't do. Hmm. I also like a chair, you know.
Oh, I'm telling you, by the time the headliner comes on now, I'm like doing yoga. I'm like, so just FYI, I'm going to bend over and I'm going to stretch my back and. You know, it's up to you if you want my face in your crotch or my butt in your crotch. You know, like, which one would you prefer? Let's go ahead and pick this out now, because later on, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I guess when I think about it, that, like, maybe the mosh pits and stuff like that do give me a little bit of anxiety, because they're not like they used to be either. Like, back when I started, the girls were totally safe and this and that, and it's not like that at all anymore. It's kind of every person for themselves, and, you know, you just want to get close, and you want to get closer to your favorite band, but then everybody wants to beat the shit out of each other. Like, when I was at Metallica, I actually protected a little young girl. It was really fun. So Jim Brewer did this, asking people, you know, like, who's the oldest Metallica fan, who's the youngest? Well, this little girl, she was, like, 11. Her name was Caitlin. I met her and her parents in the beverage line, and she came up to me when I was at the show and put her arm around me, and I thought it was some dude being pervy, and so, like, I was turning around getting ready to be like, what's up? But then I saw her, and I protected her the whole show, seriously, kept her out of the mosh area, and, you know, I mean, I think in any situation where you have so many people that are unpredictable in one area, It can tend to get a little nerve-wracking. I can see that. So.
Yeah, I think we need the 5 minute, like they have to do the 5 minute safety drill when you get on the plane. Like, the exits are here, here, and here. Please put your mask on before you put anybody else's mask on. Here's how you buckle your seatbelt. Like, I think we need that. Like, here's the bathrooms. Yes, there will be crowd surfing. It tends to happen over here. So if you don't like crowd surfing, go the F over there. There will be moshing if you intend to mosh. I think that would be kind of cool. Maybe we need to do that. So Eric, I know you said that sometimes when it gets really crowded, that's one of the things that kind of bothers you. Do you find yourself one that, like, you'll get like in the middle of it if it's a band that you're into, or do you kind of hang back?
It all just depends on the size of the crowd. There's been, like Bourbon and Beyond. We'll take that for an example. When I went, I got right up on the rail when Joan Jett played.
Oh, and I bet that was amazeballs.
Oh, it was. But it was early in the day. There was hardly anybody there. There wasn't many people behind us, and we had a big enough group to where we could kind of spread out a little bit. But as the day progresses and the crowd gets thicker, you won't find me anywhere near. I don't even care how drunk I am. I still won't even get in that crowd. You know, I mean, I'll hang out towards the very back. You know, I've already plotted my exit route, you know, and more so trying to figure out how to get back to the campground so I can grab my next beer. But
right.
Yeah, no, you won't find me in the crowds at all. Very, very rarely.
I could see that. And I know you had said that one of your things is, you know, you like to know the exits and where everything is located. Do you find yourself like, are you one of those that like you need to get there early, or you can get there like right before the headliner, right before the first one starts? Like, when do you usually arrive?
Oh, I like getting there as early as I can.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get there as early as I can. I want to get there right when the doors open, you know, and be one of the first ones to get in.
Yeah.
Not so much so I can, I mean, yeah, to get in, you know, check out the layout and everything like that, but to try and get me, claim me a good spot.
Yep.
You know, like when we go to shows at Mercury Ballroom, they've got the main floor with the stage, but they've got the elevated area around the top of it.
Uh-huh.
I like to get there and get up on top and get one of the little benches.
Okay.
You know, and take that spot. Gotcha. We went there for In Flames.
Oh, but that was awesome.
Oh, the first time I got to see them live, and that is the band that got me into metal music. So I had to go see them, and I nice. told my wife regardless. I was like, this is probably going to be a stupid mistake of mine, but as soon as I hear them play a couple songs, I am going to go get down in the mosh pit. And no sooner than I said that, I heard the opening riff to one of those songs. Uh-huh. And literally she looked away for a second and looked back and I was gone.
Nice.
And she saw me getting tossed around in the mosh pit, and I came back up, and I'd already told her I wasn't drinking. And I came back with two beers and I was like, sorry, that hurt. I need this. But no, I like to find me a spot that's close enough to where I could see everything, but far enough away to where I'm not elbow to elbow, you know. I've got room to kind of spread out.
Yeah, you're like me. You like the old people section.
I'm not almost 40 yet, so I like to
close enough, mister. And I started feeling that way at like 29.
Yeah, I've always been, you know, when I was really a lot younger, yeah, I didn't mind getting in the middle of the crowds, you know, doing that. I did that a few times, but now I'm just kind of like, no, I'm too old for that. That's just not me.
You know. Yeah, like in the 90s, I went to every Warped Tour, and I was always in the mosh pit every single time. Like, I had crowd surfers dropped on me. Mm. Had a girl one time, like, rip my tank top off to break her fall. Like, you know, all that kind of shit.
Oh, geez.
Oh, I had, you know what? It was the 90s. I had overalls, so we're good.
Okay.
The overalls were golden. You know, I mean, all that is so chaotic anyway, that unless you really, really want to get into it, I don't believe that like anybody who doesn't like 100% want to be involved really wants to be right near that, you know?
Yeah.
Like the Cogs of War, I think they're freaking awesome because they have that society where they are like, I'm this name, I'm this number. And then they know that that's like what they do. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like, that's awesome. I could never be a cop. Like, never in a million years.
I know. So, the first Louder Than Life, we had just watched, I'm pretty sure it was Volbeat. The sun's starting to set. And Volbeat was playing on the other stage. So, everything was pretty, like, spread out. And my friend kept telling me, you know, we need to get closer. We don't need to be right here. We really got to try and get closer. And I was not used to the concert etiquette at the time. I did not have the, I was not confident enough. Like, hey, there's a big old spot right in front of you. If you're just going to leave it unoccupied, it is free real estate and I'm going to take it. So she's like, we have got to get closer. We got to get closer. We got to get closer. And the reason she was saying that is because Papa Roach was the next band. And she's like, I'm telling you, it's going to get crazy. I'd never seen Papa Roach before. I was so just, I mean, deer in the headlights. I was so fawning to see this band. And, you know, as soon as Volbeat was finished, people are cramming in. And we were crammed so tight at one point. and you had people in the back kind of like rushing, trying to get up front, and they couldn't because we were squished like sardines, and you were moving like this in a wave. Like you thought you were going to fall, but you know, you were squished in so tight that you didn't fall. And I had never experienced that before in my life. So the anxiety went way up. And, you know, the first song that they played was Face Everything and Rise. And the crowd surfers, we were in that sweet little spot. It was just, I mean, crowd surfer after crowd surfer after crowd surfer. It was the first year of Louder Than Life. People did not know what the hell they were doing. They did not know crowd surfing etiquette. And I was so tired from carrying people across me. I didn't have any help. People were scattering like cockroaches. When a crowd surfer would come through, had this big dude dropped on me. And when he dropped on me, my head went like this. And I went down and I almost blacked out. That's how heavy he dropped on me. In my opinion, he had no business crowd surfing. And I'm squishy. I can say that, damn it. He had no business crowd surfing. And what was so awesome was I probably had like 12 people ready to pull me up because I thought, oh my God, this is it. I'm going to get trampled. And this is my first freaking festival. It is dark. You can't see anything. And people are rocking the F out and they're rushing to try and get closer. And I mean, there probably wasn't even a minute in between crowd surfers. That's how bad it was. And yeah, just because of where I was located. And I wanted to go to the side to get out. And my friend's like, no, 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 let's go up front. That's going to be the quickest. And anybody listening to the podcast, if you were one of the poor guys that were up front that helped get my squishy butt up over the rail so the security guy could get me out. I mean, I was terrified. I couldn't breathe. I was so scared. And he's just like, fall with me, baby, fall with me. Cause I mean, I'm 5'11". You put shoes on me and it's 6'1", 2" ish. And I'm not small. So again, if anybody listening to the podcast was a part of that audience that helped get me up over that railing so that I could get out, like, God bless you. I owe you a beer or a shot or whatever you want. But I had to breathe and I had to decompress, right? And so after that happened, going to other shows, when it got really close and everybody was squished in, it took me back to that happening. If people started crowd surfing, I'm like, F it, I'm out. So fast forward to, it was Rupp Arena, and it was Korn, I feel like Slipknot, Korn, Slipknot, I forget the band, King 810 or whatever, it was a Michigan band, anyways, I'm in the weeds, but by the time it was time for Korn, everybody was squished in, and I'm already panicking, and my face is white, and my friend Michelle, God bless her, she's like, are you okay? Are you okay? This is normal, we're gonna be okay. There's probably going to be some crowd surfing, but we already knew that like there wasn't going to be any moshing around us because we'd already kind of talked to people. Mm-hmm. But when everybody got squished in like that, I couldn't breathe. I started panicking and I had to exit stage right. And I know that my face was really pale. And I know it was a concern because I had three people over to the side, like, are you okay? Like they were checking on me because,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it, and I was like, I was like, everybody's really squished. So, it took a while. It took a really long while to get over that. I didn't realize how it had impacted me. I mean, the good news is like, I learned to manage it. Cause I know on the previous episode, I had talked about a time that like it got too much and I had to leave and I had buyer's remorse. It was in this moment up in Indiana in the Egyptian room, and it was upon a burning bridge They are a fantastic band. They are so kick-ass. But damn it, if the guy did not say, you know, come to me. Bring them to me. I want to see you. And so he was telling them, I want them to crowd surf. And I'm just like, I hate you. I hate you. Well, that's He's like, let's open this up.
Well, yeah, no kidding. And that's the one thing. Like, have you guys ever seen Less Than Jake live?
No.
I have not.
Okay, Less Than Jake, like back in the day at the Warped Tour, used to turn the entire crowd into a mosh pit. Like, there was just one song that, like, before you knew it, everyone that was within, the vicinity of the stage was running in a circle.
Circle pit. And
it was amazing. Like, well, they were kind of like one of the first ones to really start that, actually. And it was amazing. But, like, at the same time,
if it wasn't your thing,
you have anxiety, people who don't have it would be anxious. So it's like, it's that much more for you guys, you know? You know, it'd be kind of cool is if we had like so obviously we have like the tent, you know, for Clear Mind events. But like, what about like a section in the general admission area that's kind of like got like a little bit of a, you know, kind of sectioned off. But for people who are feeling that way, but don't want to miss the actual show, they just want to kind of be in their own space kind of for, does that make sense? But like, enjoy the show.
I think Eric can attest to this happens every year. It gets stirred up right before Louder Than Life and then right after Louder Than Life. You've got the people who are like, I paid good money for this show and I don't want to be tossing crowd surfers and I don't want to be moshing. And if you want to do that, then you need to go over there. And then you've got someone's like, well, I'm always going to mosh because that's what you do at a show. You mosh. And and it becomes a big, huge debate in the group every year.
Yes.
And I know I have tried so hard every year when it comes up. I'm like, so what if we pick a side? Pick stage left or stage right. And if you want to crowd surf, that's the side that you go on. Then they're like, well, then there's no one to carry us. And it's like, well, then I guess you're going to have to take fucking turns then like you did in first grade and share, you know. But like, imagine if you had like, okay, if you want a pit, here's where you're going to have the pit, right? Let's have an agreement that it's like 20 people back. And then if you're going to crowd surf, you're on the right. And then us, what'd you call it? Like the older people, the older crowd.
The old people section.
We want to be on the left. Just give us the left and we'll be fine. But yeah, so when that happened in this moment, so like, you know, and that was my first time getting to see them. We drove like 3.5 hours up to Indianapolis and I was so pissed off. Like, I went in the bathroom and I cried. I was so upset with myself because I didn't have the ovaries to like elbow my way back up front. And I should have, because all I had to do was holler for my friend and text her and be like, hey, I'm coming back up. And she would have let me. But by the time In This Moment got on the stage, I had huge buyer's remorse because I had panicked so bad. And my friend was like, there was like 4 crowd surfers and that was it. You would have been fine. And I couldn't breathe. It was that fight or flight. And my ass was flighting. I was gone. It sucked so bad. And so it took a while for me to get over it. The good news is, fast forward to, it was Ice Nine Kills. And, I was like right next to where the pit was. And so I asked the guy, I said, are you going in there or are you holding the wall? He's like, I don't know. Sometimes I'll hold the wall and then sometimes I'll probably go in there. And I said, okay. I said, well, if you're going to go in there, just tap me on the shoulder and give me a heads up so that I know. And it was so weird because after the show, I had some friends that are like, that's so cool. You're like the metal mom. You're just standing there like holding them off. And I was so freaked out and I was so worried. I'm so glad that you were there because you held them off and I didn't have to worry about them. And it just felt really weird for somebody to say that about me, because probably about 2 years before that, you know, if that pit had broke out next to me, I wouldn't have been holding the wall and shoving people back in. I'd have been like bouncing because of that anxiety that happened back at the first Louder Than Life. So, I mean, I'm what is that? Immersion therapy? What do they call that when you like desensitize yourself?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I'd go with immersion therapy.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I loved music so much that I was like, you know, I'm going to do this. Right. And I learned, which sides of the stage to be on. And that's part of the reason I do want to get there so early is because I want to be on that rail. That's like the first time I got to see Beartooth was Louder Than Life. And, before it ever started, the guys were like switching out their security and stuff. And this one guy, I forget his name. He's there every year. I did not get his name. And I was like, you got me, right? You got me, homie. Are you going to take care of me? Because I want to see these guys. Okay. Please don't let anybody get dropped on my head. So we had like a game plan. He's like, if I tap you, get down. And then he tells me, he says, you know, don't put your face near the rail because someone could kick you. And you're going to hit your teeth. And he said, your teeth are going to be gone. So we have like this whole game plan going on. And thank God we did, because when Beartooth hit, it was over with. We were kind of like mid stage. And I probably watched half of the set through this guy's armpit. I don't remember his name. If I see him again, I owe him a beer. But like I watched half of the show through his armpit because there were so many crowd surfers coming. But he took care of me. He kept me safe and I got to enjoy it. It was like effing amazeballs. It was so good. So that was probably like a breakthrough for me. Like, okay, hey, I can kind of tolerate this. I can kind of deal with it, you know, if I'm on the rail.
It's scary to have a crowd surfer dropped on you, period. Yes. It's totally, especially when, like you said, you can get trampled. There's the crowd all around. They don't know that you're going down. Actually, the first concert I ever went to, first rock show I ever went to, I had a crowd surfer dropped on me when the bands hadn't even started yet.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was 1996. It was Bush, No Doubt, and the Goo Goo Dolls. And so it was the 16 Stone Tour, as well as the Tragic Kingdom and A Boy Named Goo.
And they had crowd surfers?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were so excited. We see all excited to get this big show, and they had one of the local radio stations playing like the intro music, you know, while everybody's getting zoos. And seriously, it just started going, and like, yeah, this chick got dropped on me like in the very first rock show like I ever really went to. But I love Gavin so much that I just said, okay, let's get back up. We've waited outside all day. I skipped school so I could go get in line for the floor. But yeah, it's. People are just unpredictable at these things. So I can see why it can be more nerve-wracking for some rather than others.
All right, that was part one of our anxiety episode. Join us for episode 5, Anxiety Still Alive. Talk to you soon.